Good morning again. Good morning. Thanks. If you'd please join me in prayer. Loving God, be with us, dear Lord. Help us to hear something new today. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing unto you. Amen. So you already got a little bit of a teaser of our scripture text. I'll start with reading the entire text and then talk a little bit about it. It's Matthew 18, verses 1 through 5. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child and had him stand among them, and he said, "I will tell you the truth. They are the main reason we have balloons and happy meals and birthday parties and Easter egg hunts and lawn sprinklers on hot summer days. They turn mothers into mommies, fathers into daddies. They can turn a tear into a smile in 10 seconds flat, or an immaculately clean house into a dump in less time than that. Truth tellers, chaos creators, heartbreakers, memory makers. It's clear throughout scriptures that Jesus was most impressed with children. What is it about children that make them models of the kingdom? Surely Jesus doesn't want us to all become terrible twos, defiantly shouting no at everything, ignoring boundaries, and seemingly always getting into something they shouldn't have. Somehow they are able to get their fingerprints on everything. When I read this text, it made me think of my own childhood. I was quite inquisitive and always seemed to be taking apart my toys rather than just dressing them up. My Barbie doll collection was this scary mix of amputee dolls. Some were missing legs, others had traded arms. They were always a work in progress. I was most often found outside, actually climbing trees, playing four square, jumping rope, jacks, hide and seek with the neighborhood kids. Then there was that time, well, I could spend days telling you about pouring boxes of Jell-O into our pool so that we could walk across it. Or the time I decided that I should color my fingertips with markers and then mark the walls up to my room, I guess so I wouldn't get lost. Well, I left my mark for sure. It made me think about leaving marks, leaving our fingerprints. How can we live our lives purposefully leaving our fingerprints on the lives of others? Of course, not all children are like me when I was growing up, so we need to think about the ways that Jesus means. Unless you become like children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. It could be that children delight in helping others. How can we see with new eyes, through their eyes, the needs of this community? Children love to help. Maybe it's because children believe that anything is possible. With kids, it's always possible. Their imagination always asks, why not? During this last heat spell, we had some of our neighborhood kids opened up their lemonade stand. I walked across the street to buy a glass from them. They were so excited to have a customer. It was fun to be a part of something big, or at least what seemed big to them, because they were so excited. It didn't matter to me, or apparently to them, that the lemonade was warm and the cookies were a bit stale. As far as they were concerned, their lemonade stand was the finest in the country, and they knew people were going to line up for miles. A question was asked of me recently to see where I saw God at work in the world. And the first thing I thought of was through my son, Taylor. He just loves people. He waves and says hello to everybody, It's often followed by, "What's your name?" Last Thursday, we were walking home from our local farmer's market, and he befriended what seemed to me to be two homeless people. The man and woman were riding their bikes, which he loves, and he just started waving and yelling hi when they were at least still 20 feet away from us. These two folks looked tired and exhausted, but they both were smiling and talking with Taylor as soon as he started calling for their attention. So here I am, feeling guarded and anxious about Taylor talking to these strangers, but he has just made two new best friends. He helped brighten these two strangers' lives simply by waving, madly, I might add, and saying hello. I want to see life through his eyes. I want to appreciate the simple things and not always be on guard. While thinking about our text this morning, I realized that all children possess these same three characters or qualities, and they happen to be in line with our scripture. The qualities are humility, teachability, and trust. Young children are not concerned about being great, as we often define greatness. They don't care if you have more money. They don't care if you are more athletic than they are. They don't care if you're better looking. They just want to be in the game. It's not a conscious effort to be humble. Kids just are. They make no pretense to be somebody important, and it's not important for them to be somebody important. I believe this is a trait that Jesus is trying to get across to the disciples. They were in the middle of another of their many arguments about which of them was the greatest. You can just picture them in your minds. Peter, James, and John especially, all arguing, "I'm the greatest. When the kingdom comes, I'm going to sit in the throne at the right hand of Jesus." Maybe Nathaniel saying, "But I've got royal blood." Maybe Judas piping in, "I've got the money bag. That gives me some special privileges." Finally, somebody says, "Let's let Jesus decide this once and for all." But Jesus says, "Unless you are changed and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." We have to learn to hold on to that childlike attribute of humility in our lives. Those rules that we learned about here on the steps of how we are to play and act and be with one another. Another quality that children have is that they are teachable. Children don't mind admitting that they don't know something. In fact, their favorite question is why. If there's one thing a child knows how to do, it's asked questions. If you've ever spent time with a young child, you've heard the repetitive question, why? Why is the grass green? Why is the sky blue? Why does a car need gas to run? Why does the sun rise in the east and set in the west? Why this? Why that? That inquisitive nature in children is something that we often lose as we grow older. Our attitude towards questions as adults is often to say, "I don't know and I don't care," or "I already know and don't need to hear your side." How many of you are on Facebook? I can't tell you how many, I already know the person where they are politically before they even start talking. And many friends of mine have stopped going on Facebook because they're exhausted by the political ads that are on Facebook. I've had friends say, "I know where I am politically already, and I'm not changing, so don't bother to change my mind." So apparently, we are not teachable anymore. We've learned enough. Our minds are closed. I think sometimes we adults have to learn to take a step back and realize that we are still teachable. We haven't learned everything there is to know. And if we keep our humility in check, those around us might be able to teach us something. The third attribute for children is that they are trusting. Taylor is totally dependent. He takes comfort in holding my hand. He's still four, so that makes a difference. He takes comfort in holding my hand. He's perfectly content to be dependent. But as Christians, where is our trust? God has promised to take care of us, and we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28 says, "For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." Hebrews 13:5 says, "We need a childlike faith." I'm afraid we live in a world more full of distrust now. How can we change that? How can we live our lives differently, trusting in God's plan for our lives rather than solely running our own plan? So, like children, I believe that we have got to delight in helping others. We have to believe that anything is possible and that we are all equal. I think that we've got to seek to have these qualities of humility, teachability, and trust. The last verse talks about when you welcome the children in my name, you welcome me. How would each of us make the grade if we were looking at the ways that we welcome children in Jesus' name? For it is in that welcoming of children that we welcome Christ. I want to leave you today with one more possibility of what I really believe Jesus is desiring in his disciples, and therefore with us too. It's found in verse 2. Unless you change, you won't enter the kingdom of God. Unless you change, unless we change, the older we get, the less we like change. We get stuck in our ways, comfortable with our lives. We find something that works, a lifestyle we can live with, and we just keep on doing that same thing over and over and over. Life might not be very happy for us. In fact, some of us might be miserable and looking for something new, something not predictable. So whether it's a good way to live or a healthy lifestyle or being successful or not, we just keep on doing it. Maybe you're there this morning, stuck, rutting yourself to death. Children aren't like that. A child can happen upon another group of kids doing something he's never done before, and he'll try it. He'll stand there at the edge of action for a little while, surveying the scene, then he'll muster the courage and ask, "Can I play?" A child will watch someone doing something that requires a particular skill, like baking bread or fixing a carburetor. She'll watch the hands as they knead the dough or pick up a tool and inquire about it and then ask, "Can I try that?" How many of you know children who know more about computers than you do? I'm amazed when Taylor picks up this iPad and how he can get to music every single time, even though I'm on his childhood video. They aren't afraid to push buttons and to try something new. I think sometimes kids are even better at church than we are. They like meeting different people and learning new things and singing new songs, hearing new stories, imagining new possibilities. Well, there's good news here at Montclair. I'm guessing you all are going through some changes. During this time of an interim, you've looked at the church, the way the church has been. You've considered ways of how the church can be in the future. Adults get stuck, but kids get going. I believe there's something good here for Montclair. But churches can act old. Churches are notorious for living in ruts. But Jesus said, "Unless you change, you'll never experience the kingdom of heaven." Unless you change, you will never experience his surprising power. Unless you change, you'll miss out on the work God is eager to perform. Unless you change, unless we change, we'll never be a part of what God is doing in the world. Unless we change, we'll never leave our fingerprints of faith on this community. Because in order to leave fingerprints, you've got to become a child. We've got to be okay with getting our hands dirty. You maybe have to draw on your fingerprints with magic markers or finger paint. What are the ways that the fingerprints of our faith can change how we live? What are the ways that the fingerprints of our faith can change this community and affect it differently? As we live out Jesus' words, to become like children, we recognize our humility. We realize that we need to be more open to being teachable and available to trust others and realize our own need for change in our lives. It is no small task. The expectations of God never are. Amen.